You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, now that the Republican convention is over, what did you think?
Oh, I thought the closing of the convention the last day with President Trump's speech was phenomenal.
I did think also the president's speech was absolutely phenomenal. And it was long, but he had a lot to talk about. And he touted all of the things that he has accomplished during his almost 4 years. And of course, you have to talk about the opera. And you have to talk about the fireworks, because both were just amazing.
Yeah, but let me go back and you know, you touched on something. Joe Biden, when he gave his acceptance speech, I think it was 24 minutes, and Trump spoke for over an hour. And I think the reason that Trump spoke for over an hour is because, like you said, Linda, he's got a lot to talk about, because he had a lot of phenomenal accomplishments. And the thing that I think is key about that, and I hope the American people and our Talking While Married friends and followers keep in mind, that all of the things that have been going on in President Trump's life while he has been president of the United States, literally in battle every single day with the Democrats, the deep state, the horrible mainstream media, 96-97% negative news, all of the things, the investigations, the impeachment, all of the things that have been going on, this guy, our president, does not stop. He hits it again and again and again and again. And he has moved America so much further in these 4 years than any president in my lifetime. And we can also talk about the coronavirus too, but that's not the president of the United States' fault.
Well, no, but the Democrats keep wanting to blame him for it being his fault. It's not his fault at all. And they won't even call it the China virus, because they're in bed with China. But, you know, speaking of the China virus, it is getting better. It's getting better across the country. It's getting worse in some other parts of the world. So it's really a worldwide pandemic. I also noticed that some of the states are starting to loosen up on the restrictions for people and for businesses. That can only be a good thing. And that will help President Trump, but it will far more importantly, help the American people.
I think he was able to correctly compare and contrast his administration with the past Obama and Biden administration, and even past Republican and Democrat administrations. I thought he did a really good job with that. I thought all the speakers, not only on Thursday night, which was the last, you know, day of the convention, that lasted, what, 4 days, right?
Right.
But I thought that every single person that came up really had meat on the table. You know, I can't remember the name of the lady. I think it was a lady that put the whole convention together. But what a phenomenal job this person did. I thought the convention technologically was flawless. And I think I was talking to you about the fact that, hey, I'd rather watch this kind of convention than go through the one with the throngs of people and, yeah, you know, thousands and thousands of people and the chaos and the distractions. And if you remember, in 2016, I was in Cleveland, Ohio for the Republican convention.
I do remember that.
And I was all prepared to do news stories for Fox News on how the Black Lives Matter and the police were going to get into it, because the BLM had threatened to close down the Republican convention. And that never happened, because CPD and the surrounding agencies did such a fantastic job, and that never happened.
And those motorcycle guys for Trump.
I was just going to say that, Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
And I think that had a lot to do with stuff too. But I thought that so many people had things to bring to the table, comparing and contrasting. There were a lot of Black people, Black professionals, Black people of all walks of life. And I don't remember everybody's names, but it truly was a convention of the people. And the reason I'm spending some time talking about Black people is that everybody is talking about that. Black Lives Matter, this matters, that matters, you know, all the athletes. I know we're going to talk about athletes later on, but everything. And so this is a time for the Black community to really wake up and figure out, I mean, right now, what banner they are going to follow. Is it going to be the Biden-Harris ticket that offers the Black community and people of color absolutely nothing, well, except for the nanny state?
You're right. Neither one has done a thing for the Black community, and Harris has done nothing but imprison them. And I'm not saying a lot of those people may not have deserved to be in prison. However, she made a point of imprisoning them, and she was pretty relentless about it. I don't think that they are going to forget that. Where President Trump has done what he can to release people that have unfair sentences, like the woman that
Jackson, went, I think her name was Jackson,
that talked about her situation. You know, the thing about this convention, and I'm not a big convention person.
I am not either.
But I couldn't turn it off because I was so touched by every speaker that came up. They were articulate. They made their case very well. The Black people that came up made the case very clearly that President Trump is not a racist. And he has been called a racist by the likes of Nancy Pelosi for so long that it's just, to me, it's disgusting and disrespectful. And these people say, hey, I'm Black, and he is not a racist.
And, you know, you get Herschel Walker, who I just love, okay? And
he was great.
You know, this man has been so successful, you know, professional football player, I think Heisman Trophy winner, all of that. He's been successful in everything in his life. He got up there and said, hey, look, I've known President Trump long before he was president of the United States. Okay, I've known him for 39 years, and this guy is not a racist. But what I loved about everybody that came up is they gave us a glimpse into the future. First of all, they did a really good job in stamping out the various false narratives.
Yes.
And then they talked about how President Trump had personally touched them in their lives and where we need to be going as an American people into the future. I did not see that in the Democratic National Convention. I think it was a convention in search of a platform, and the platform they gave, I thought, was bucolic.
Well, and their platform, they don't even talk about it because it's too scary.
It's very scary.
But I don't remember her name, and I should remember her name, but the young woman that was murdered in Iran, if you recall, and her parents came up and spoke so eloquently, and they made the point, and I clearly remember this at the time, they got no help from the Obama-Biden administration, none. And all they got was lip service, and they never, ever, ever received to this day a phone call from Biden. And President Trump is the one who reached out to them. And, you know, these are human stories. These are American people. These are not the people out in the streets rioting and the professors in the colleges that are, you know, Marxist. These are the real people of America. These are the backbone, the heart and soul of who America is. And that's why I just found it so touching. These aren't people that sought out, none of these people sought out any kind of notoriety.
Right.
None of them.
I agree with you.
They had things happen in life that affected their life, and President Trump was there for them. And that is what really touched my heart.
Well, you know, I thought, and I've already mentioned her name, Mrs. Jackson, and what a very, very interesting story and a tragic story. And what I really like about her, first of all, she's a woman of God, and I believe she's a minister now. And so she's right up front with the American people. I made serious mistakes in my life, and it cost me pretty much a life sentence. And so, she didn't deal with drugs, but she was involved in the distribution where she was like,
she was a courier.
And I think she was arrested a couple of times, but she ended up getting a huge sentence. So here is a woman that did 22 years for her crimes, and she was going to continue to do time.
She pretty much had a life sentence.
All right. She was going to continue to do time. And you want to talk about real restorative justice. That's restorative justice when President Trump says, hey, wait a minute, 22 years for this, when we're letting people out for murder, when we're letting people out for armed rape, for home invasion,
absolutely,
for violent crimes, for kidnapping, and all of this. And we're giving this woman 22 years, actually, it was more.
It was basically
a life sentence. Yeah. And then he commutes her sentence, and then he just recently pardoned her at the same time. You know me, I have put a lot of drug dealers away, street level, dealers, gang members dealing drugs, all sorts of people dealing drugs, serious drugs. And I would not wish a life sentence on a woman like this. I would not do that.
No, and I don't know why she got that sentence, but thank goodness that somebody saw that and made it right for her. And she's grateful and she's humble. All I can say is that the people that were there are the American backbone. Now, the Democrats came out right after, and I told you at the time, before it even happened, that they were going to say that these people were paraded out there for some political purpose. And I just resent that. And the people that spoke also resent that. And they have made comments that, no, that's not true at all. I wanted to be here. I truly believe in this man.
Well, we spent a little bit of time talking about the convention. I'm still going to talk about the convention, but the fun stuff. Let's talk about the fireworks and let's talk about the opera.
Oh, the opera was amazing.
Oh my God. Being an Italian, they played, they sang my favorite Italian aria. And every time I hear it, and of course, the last time I did hear it, was when we were in Verona at the opening of the Italian opera a couple of years ago, actually in the Roman Arena in Verona. And of course we had Botticelli and everybody, I mean, the most famous Italian tenors. And I don't know who the tenor was, but boy, did that guy have a set of pipes. And every time I hear that particular aria, it brings tears to my eyes, and it did that night. It was such a moving rendition of songs. And then he also sang God Bless America. He didn't stop singing. That guy sang for a solid half hour.
Yeah.
And at the level, right, that he was singing and belting that out. And he had a wonderful, backup singers.
Yes, he did.
I was so impressed by that. I was so touched by that. And I thought it was the perfect capstone to the convention, a very moving time, but boy, I have never seen fireworks like that.
They were just gorgeous. And you're a big fireworks guy.
Oh yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm a big pyrotechnic guy.
I can usually love them or leave them, but that was amazing. And when they have fireworks that spell out the name Trump, all I can say is, how'd they do that?
And how'd they get those stars? Where they really bursted into stars.
Yeah.
Right? I thought that was phenomenal. And then they had that whole Bellagio thing going back and forth, with the fireworks shooting up into the sky. I'll bet you they spent $1 million on it. And it was funny, I thought it was going to be fireworks for about 10 minutes. And then it went past 10 minutes. And then it went past 20 minutes. And then it kept going and going. And I go, oh my God, this place is going to, the whole city is going to smell like cordite in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then you can't talk about all of that beauty and all of those uplifting stories without then turning to people leaving the convention and being accosted and attacked by the opposition party.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that when we come back from our break in just a minute, but I wanted to just mention, you know, this thought that I had. Trump filled the grounds of the White House.
Oh, yeah.
With people. And it was like he had his own real convention there, where the Democrats, believe me, that was a snoozer. Okay, so, you know, Harris and Biden are out there. And, you know, there's like nobody in the audience. And so you just didn't get the excitement and the feel of what a convention was. But
and the one thing that Kamala Harris gave the after party response.
Oh, to President Trump.
Right.
Not Biden.
Exactly. Not Biden.
Because she's going to be the real president of the United
States. That's right. So what she said is that Trump was only doing this to fuel his ego. Everything was to fuel his ego. Are you just kidding me? Let's see. Do we remember Obama and the big Egyptian pillars that he had? No. This was, it was just so from the heart. And there was nothing fake about it. I loved every minute of it. And I have to say, for anybody who really knows us, they know that this is not our thing. I mean, watching a convention is not our thing.
Right.
And I didn't intend to watch it. But actually, truth be told, the reason that we watched that is because you were coming on TV right after.
and non-politically related.
Okay. Right. And so we watched it, but we got totally engrossed in it, and we were just mesmerized by everything that was happening.
Yeah. I think people need to pay attention. I don't think it was lost on people, especially conservatives. And I hope the Democrats, you know, understand what happened here when Kamala Harris came out and did the response to President Trump's speech instead of Joe Biden. And Joe Biden only spoke for 24 minutes in his acceptance speech. I'm telling you, if you're smart and you connect the dots, it's painfully obvious that Biden can't go the distance. He just can't do it. And Kamala Harris, if they get elected, God help us all, she's going to be the real president of the United States.
Last
she's going to be the president behind the curtain.
Last thing before I grab your coffee for you. The opera singer was Christopher Macchio from Long Island, and magnificent.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com, dronmartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, thanks for the coffee. I saw you going into the super duper coffee machine that we got last Christmas, and it made me a beautiful cup of latte. So you mentioned the fact of people leaving the convention. We're talking Republican convention, and they are immediately set upon. And I'll tell you what, I watched the videos, especially the one with Rand Paul and his wife. I'm telling you what, they were attacked and they were scared. And you could hear the people threatening their lives. And that must be so scary for an older couple.
And well, especially since he already was injured by his neighbor.
Correct. And you, as you and I know, because we've been to Washington, D.C. numerous times, you know, when you leave the White House grounds, you know, it's very close to get to the Senate building. And it's very close to get to, you know, their office buildings and also hotels.
Yes.
Very, I mean, it's right there.
Yes. All okay. Walking distance. Sure.
And, and matter of fact, even the Trump Hotel is up the street. Now, that's much farther away. Okay. But the other buildings are very, very, very close. So you would think, if you were a politician or a convention goer and you were paying big bucks and you're staying in one of the nice hotels on Pennsylvania Avenue, that you wouldn't be any big deal. You just walk 100 or 200 yards and you're right to your Senate office building or your congressional building, or you're in your fancy dancy hotel. And that's not the way it went down. They were attacked. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And the Washington, D.C. Police did everything that they possibly could. And they were really undermanned, I have to tell you. They looked...
Well, that was the mayor's fault.
They looked beleaguered.
Yeah, that was absolutely okay. The mayor's fault.
And so that, again, is another demonstration of what I refer to as a combination of Marxist, anarchist, and neo-socialist behavior, Nazi behavior, the neo-socialists. And again, I just want to remind people that listen to us and specifically listen to me, who wrote the Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police book, which is now a bestseller. When I am referring to national socialism, I'm not talking about white guys. I'm not talking about white supremacists. I'm talking about the behavior of people today that 100% mimic the brown shirts of the National Socialist Party of Adolf Hitler back in the late 20s and early 30s going into the 40s. Okay? Not all neo-socialists are white people.
Well, what that also shows is by the lack of officers there, it also shows what we can look forward to from cities who defund their police and we don't have enough police, and also mayors who refuse to give the public the support and the protection that they are paying the city for. And I just find that very, very frustrating. It endangers the people like Rand Paul and his wife, but it also endangers those officers and it also endangers those protesters.
And you know, Linda, as you and I have talked about numerous times, and you especially have written about, and I've posted about, the fact that if you think the Black Lives Matter movement has anything to do with Black lives, then you've been living in a cave. And you haven't been able to dial it in. This has nothing to do with Black lives, or else they would have been out there protesting the hundreds and hundreds of deaths of Black people committed by other Black people and little tiny children being murdered in the streets by Black people in their own community.
It absolutely has nothing to do with Black lives. That is their little touchstone words to get people to think one way when they really are doing something else. The Black Lives Matter movement is a Marxist movement in order to actually destroy our American way of life and everything that we know and that we hold dear in America.
Absolutely. And they practice their goals and objectives revolve around the four D's. So disenfranchise, distance, defund, and dissolve law enforcement. Now, I think it's important to note, and I've said this for years, I said it when I wrote my book, the United States government needs to investigate this group. Now, when I first wrote the book, it had millions of dollars in its coffers. Now, It is an international movement. It has over $1 billion in its coffers.
And here's why. Because people that have no idea what they're supporting, people like Target, people like Jeff Bezos, people like, who are the other people that are giving big sums of money?
There's Starbucks,
Goodyear Tire.
Right.
Starbucks is another one. People are not understanding what they're supporting. They think that they're supporting some movement where police are overly brutal to Black people, which is actually just a false narrative. You don't even listen to us. Just look it all up for yourself. Find your own statistics. I'm sure Dr. Ron can tell you where to find him. But the thing is that they are supporting and pouring money into this organization, which wants to destroy the very foundation of what those businesses are in America. They're actually doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah, you know, as I posted a few times in social media, every time you see them shoot somebody, every time you see them break into a store and loot it or violate people's civil rights, attack people, attack innocent people, attack senior citizens, and with especially the looting, Linda, of these poor businesses that had barely survived COVID and, you know, would have never made it had it not been for PPP. And now they come back and then they're being brutally attacked again, looted and burned by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. You know, it's absolutely crazy. And the people in these organizations, and I'm going to call them multinational organizations, they are so ignorant because they attacked Rand Paul. And while they were attacking Rand Paul, they were yelling at him and his wife, "Say her name, say her name." And they were referring to the lady in Louisville, mm-hmm. The Black lady that was shot and killed during a search warrant on a drug house. And Rand Paul is the guy that wrote the legislation, even though I disagree with it completely.
As do I.
But he wrote the legislation to end no-knock warrants. He's the very guy that they should be championing him. And what are they doing? They're attacking him and his wife, and they're threatening to kill them.
But they see, again, this proves that they have no idea what they're doing there. Somebody is paying these people to be there in all of these different cities. And I want to go back to something that you said a minute ago, Ron, where you're talking about, you know, defunding the police and what their goals and desires are. What you saw in Seattle when you had that chop zone and you had them close it off and you had armed citizens out there, that is what you'll have, because you're not going to have enough police. So you're going to have absolutely just chaos, and people are going to be armed, and they are going to be the people that are telling you what to do.
Oh, and those are the Nazis for sure. But what happens when people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do not come up front and say, "This is intolerable, go home, comply with the police, don't go out there, don't burn, don't loot, don't steal, don't shoot, don't beat, you know, people and the police"? They're not saying any of that. And that's why President Trump is able to come forward and be accepted as the only law enforcement presidential candidate. It's truly correct, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would. And, you know, in Kenosha, which was the most recent shooting, the Wisconsin governor, Tony Evers, who is a Democrat, has told Trump not to show up there. They don't want him there. I mean, what the absolute disrespect for the president of the United States, who has, by the way, sent troops at their request to go in and help. It's just astounding to me that we have come to this point. And that's a whole nother conversation that we've had before, and I'd love to have again, perhaps not this evening, but, you know, it's a big conversation about the disrespect.
Well, take a look at Mayor Ted Wheeler, who's a total loser. And, you know, he's been a big Antifa supporter until it turned around on him. right? So he still won't allow federal agents and federal officers into Portland. And that town is in its, what, 97th day?
Oh, it's crazy.
Of destruction. And they had recently, they had the Trump train go through there, about 600 vehicles. And by the way, we're going to do a Trump train, what, next week?
Yep, we're going to do a Trump train as soon as one comes up. Actually, they've had a number of them in our community, and now we're seeing them all over the country. I'm very excited about them. It's just, it's very fun, and people are very creative with their cars, decorating them. I certainly haven't seen a Biden train anywhere.
Well, no, I haven't. And what's kind of cool about the Trump train, it's also not only pro, Donald Trump, but it's pro law enforcement, it's pro first responders. You see a lot of thin blue line flags. And we just saw one come through our town just this past weekend. And it was, like you said, it was so fun to watch. You know, it's kind of like a big barbecue kind of thing,
it is. Yeah.
And I really love it. But, you know, that just shows, and I kind of pulled off the subject, we got into the Trump train thing, but it shows for sure what the media is saying, where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did not get a bump, you know, a post convention bump.
No, but President Trump did.
Oh, he sure as hell did. Absolutely. And believe me, that bump is just climbing and climbing. I saw some polls just today about Black Americans and Hispanic Americans.
Black Americans up 9%.
Yep. And believe me, if this keeps up, President Trump is going to roll over those guys just like the Trump train. But you know what? I want to just bounce back again to the comments that you're making and I have written extensively about in my book, the funding of this Black Lives Matter movement. So I think everybody should know that George Soros is a major funder of the Black Lives Matter movement. And he's got his big group, organization called Open Society, that funds revolutionary movements all over the world, Linda. And then the secret, super secret Tides Foundation, which is a George Soros organization, they really secretly put money and fund these, you know, groups and organizations. And these are the people, plus the celebrities that I wrote about, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Carter, $33 million, I think, during the last election, they gave away to Black Lives Matter. So, and now, like you said, the corporations, the Amazons, the Starbucks, the Targets, I mean, there's a bunch of these different corporations are donating money to Black Lives Matter. You are crazy. You don't even know what you're doing. And that's going to come back and haunt you because, again, this has nothing to do with Black lives. Linda, you said it correctly. It is Marxist. It's Black nationalism. It's anarchists. It's Antifa. It is the destruction of the United States of America and our government. And they will loot and burn your companies and your Starbucks and your Targets.
Yeah. They don't care because the people on the ground don't even know what's going on. They have an agenda. So some people's agenda are that they're paid to be there, but other people's agenda are just, I'm going to take advantage of this and steal everything I can.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And Kenosha was a great example because look at the car dealership that they went in and destroyed all of those cars and basically burned the building, maintenance bays, you know, everything to work on the cars. They burned every single car in the parking lot, demolished every single car in the parking lot. And that guy had posted Black Lives Matter signs all over his distributorship. How'd that work out for him? This has nothing to do with Black Lives.
No, that's a fact. Has nothing to do with it. You know, you were talking about George Soros, and one of the things about George Soros is all of the people that he funds and that he has his hands in kind of everything. Well, Facebook has been accused of censoring conservative thought on Facebook. Would you agree?
Oh, I actually do agree. As a matter of fact, today I just got a survey from Facebook asking me all about that, and I let them have it.
Okay. Well, they're bored. And what made me look this up, Ron, was a story that you told me about somebody that posted something on Facebook that was absolutely despicable, that basically said that they would murder every white person in the country.
Hang them. Every single one of them.
And Facebook saw nothing wrong with that and would not take it down when people complain. Well, here's something that people need to know about Facebook. Who is on their censorship board? There are 20 people. 11 of those 20 are connected to leftist groups tied to George Soros that have benefited from his donations, and they have, most of them are not American. So there's an Indian lawyer and civil society activist, and I can give you all of the poop on every one of them.
Well, just hit the high points.
Then you have Afia Asantewa Saryev, which is a human rights attorney. He's the program manager at Soros Open Society Initiative.
I talked about, Open Society.
All of these people are. Alan Rusberger, former British newspaper editor, and he's on the board of directors of the Committee to Protect Journalists. He also received $750,000 from Open Society Foundation. Nigat Dad is a Pakistani attorney, founder of the Digital Rights Foundation, and he also received money from Soros. Julio Owano, he's a Paris-based nonprofit person, and he also received monies. There's 11 people here that we could go through every single name. All of them are from different places in the world. Not a one of them that is in this 11 is an American citizen. They're all from around the world. These are the people that are censoring our speech on Facebook. Now, besides these 11, there are 9 other people. Most of them are leftists. There are 1 or 2 conservatives. One is a professor, and I don't know who the other one is. But what I'm saying is I can't even imagine why Mark Zuckerberg would have a board, a censorship board made up of these people. I can't imagine.
Okay, well, let me put my 2 cents worth in, because George Soros, we know, is a globalist. Okay, he is a currency manipulator. He owes dual citizenship in Hungary, where he is a convicted felon, and also in the United States. Why he continues to be allowed to be a United States citizen without going through a court process of deportation is beyond me, because we can definitely associate him with many of the bad and revolutionary things that are happening in the United States of America. All he cares about is currency manipulation. Mark Zuckerberg is a multi-billionaire, almost a trillionaire, for God's sakes, and he is a globalist. And the globalists are part of the one world, one order movement that I've talked about a few times before and also wrote about in my book. That is a serious issue, and people had better wake up to the way that we are being gaslighted by social media. How about our last cup of coffee?
Okay.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So one more thing about these militant groups, and especially Antifa, that are at all of these riot places, and they've been in Portland and Seattle for some time. There was a judgment that is paying one of the Antifa people. His last name is, his whole name is Matthew Maddox. He's a 31-year-old guy who was at one of the protests, and he was, acting crazy, and he was flipping police off and getting right up in their face, and the police were trying to move the crowd along. The protesters, the Antifa people, they had things like rocks, bottles, tear gas, a different pepper spray, things that they were using on the police. So the police were trying to move the crowd along. They couldn't get him moved along, or he wouldn't go. And they shot a rubber bullet, and they missed him. And then he taunted them for missing him, so they shot again, and they hit him in the arm. Well, he sued the city of Portland, and Portland, being Portland, is paying him $23,000 for his terrible distress at getting shot by a rubber bullet after, doing everything that he did to the police there on that day. By the way, this character is on social media all of the time saying how people should kill police. So I'm just so disgusted with Portland and with Oregon and with Seattle and those cities that are condoning this behavior from these people. And these Antifa people, they have like a book of, like a Marxist book of things that they should do at these protests. And that's what they're following.
Well, Linda, I was the police practices expert for the city of Portland for years. And when Mayor Ted Wheeler got elected to the position of mayor, I knew that was the beginning of the end for me, because once he came out in support of Antifa and the Police Officers Association and their president, who I know personally, really didn't do anything to fight that, to combat it, to push back, to do everything in their power to stop this guy from basically taking over everything, because this is the only city that I know of in the United States where the mayor is also the police commissioner. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
So when that happened, I said, that's the end for me. And I basically wrote a letter of resignation and bailed out of there. And I'm glad I did. I feel so sorry for some of the officers, but really, guys and gals, you did nothing to protect yourselves. And this is the end result. I feel bad for you, but you created your own swamp, and now you've got to deal with it.
Well, one of the things that people in America should know, when they see what we just saw after the Republican convention, when they see these groups disrupting President Trump's speeches and going after, the different Republicans, this is not just unhappy Americans. These are planned events. And one of the national organizations, and I know that you're familiar with this, is that radical leftist group called By Any Means Necessary.
Oh, absolutely. We saw them. My first look at them as an expert for the city of Sacramento, California, was right there. And if you remember a middle school a female
Yvette
teacher.
Falarca.
Oh, there you
she
go.
She is one of the founders, one of the
exactly.
prominent people in the organization.
There you go.
And she attacked some people there. She punched this one man in the stomach numerous
right.
times. And so they are being investigated by the FBI. But these are organized groups. These are not just, some people might think these are just unhappy Americans.
No, they're far from it.
Far from it.
Far from it. And I'm hoping and praying that when Donald Trump gets elected again, Bill Barr, our wonderful Attorney General of the United States, will stay with Mr. Trump.
I hope he stays.
And here's what I would like to see. Bill, Mr. Ray from the FBI, that guy's got to go. There's a lot of guys in the seventh floor, which is what we call seventh floor, is the administrative wing of the FBI. Those guys got to go. You have absolutely got a clean house. The FBI has become nothing but a political arm of law enforcement, and they have zero credibility with the United States people. And I feel so bad because there's about 30,000 people in the FBI, okay, agents and support people. And there are so many men and women that do a wonderful job and risk their lives every single day. And it's a few bad apples up in that administration that they have got to get rid of so that the credibility will return again to the Bureau.
Well, they're definitely part of the deep state. Hey, there was something that really has been kind of niggling at me. And so I had to sit down and write an article about it because that's what I do. This is about major sports. So when the major sports players,
and you mean recently, professional sports,
when they recently boycotted because of the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Correct. Jacob Blake.
And first of all, it was really bothering me that the narrative that they put out was incorrect as to the facts of what really happened.
It wasn't even close.
No. And that really bothers me because our children hear those things from these athletes who they admire, and they're spewing incorrect information. And I don't like that. And they don't wait for the facts to come out. They immediately go ahead and boycott before the facts of the case even come out, before the investigation is done. And I think that that's patently unfair. And I'd like to know how they would like for that to happen to them in football or baseball or basketball.
Or hockey.
So I got to thinking about this and I thought, you know, the message, this boycott message, because they are standing behind it and they're saying, we're going to do it again. We have a huge platform. And you rightfully point out, it's not their platform. It's they have a job to do that we, the people, are paying them to do by the purchase of our tickets, our season tickets, or our subscriptions on TV or whatever we pay, our support of their sponsors, those types of things. We pay for those athletes to make just an obscene amount of money so that we can be entertained. I'm no longer entertained by them. And for them to do, as you said to me, boycott when people have bought tickets for those games, made plans, looked forward to things, perhaps made hotel reservations, airline reservations,
taking time off of work, taking vacation time.
And they have no respect for their fans. And they are also forwarding the false narrative of Black Lives Matter when Black Lives Matter is, these guys wouldn't even be doing what they're doing, especially getting paid what they're getting paid, if they understood what would happen if we become that Marxist state.
You know, you've written such a beautiful article, and I'm not going to take anything from it because I want you to talk more about it. But the one thing, Linda, I just want to add to the expenses is think of what populations, cities have had to put in with their tax revenues to support these stadiums
going in.
And then, Linda, because you and I used to be big sports fans, especially baseball and hockey, you know, we would go to the games. We had season tickets or half season tickets. And what do? You know, we go out to the restaurants that surround these venues. There are shopping centers that pop up to surround these. The infrastructure, the business infrastructure that supports professional sports has been completely disregarded. Mom and pop places, major restaurants, people trying to make it that have gotten hit with COVID and basically taken huge losses and nearly knocked out of business. A quarter of them have been knocked out of business, if not a half. And now these selfish, pompous people are boycotting. And so nobody is going to the games.
They're kicking these people when they're down.
Exactly.
And these are the people that have supported them all along. So I'm angry. And I think America should be angry. I do not buy a ticket to pay to see their politics on their shirts or their helmets. And I will not go if that's the case. They have disrespected their fans and their public. And their impotent managers who so much crave that dollar that they have let them get away with it. I got to say, for every single athlete on those fields, there's another 10 just like them out there waiting for an opportunity.
Oh boy, I love that, Linda. You are so right by saying that. Hey guys, you're not that great, okay? You play a kid's game, all right? You throw a basketball in a hoop that trained SEALs can do.
that's funny. but well, you know what, I think about the narrative that they're talking about, and they're just so righteous about it, and they're so woke, right? But they weren't at these events, and every single one of these events, Ron, that people got shot, these names that they're throwing out there, every single one of these events, the police were called to the event. They were called by somebody that needed their help with this person's actions and behavior. And then the actions and behavior that that person took when the police arrived ultimately caused them to be shot.
Yeah.
It people is not the cops running out and
absolutely
trying to find people to shoot.
You know, as two old law dogs, Linda, we know that, you know, we try to employ the best techniques, tactics that we can to any particular situation. But ultimately, it is the person that we encounter and we engage with that sets the tone and the response by law enforcement. And the whole Jacob Blake thing is an excellent example of that. I wonder how many of these elite, babied, entitled, multimillionaire professional sports people know that Jacob Blake was a rapist, okay? And that's what got him in trouble. He raped the girlfriend, and then she got a restraining order, and then he basically broke into the house with the knife. And so now we've got a violation of a restraining order. We've got an armed trespassing, yep, a B&E, and then the police are called. And what do you think he does with the police? He resists the police, put one of them in a headlock. They tried to tase him. He never got rid of the knife. I did an analysis. I took pictures of him. What I did is I enhanced the video and took still frames where he was still holding the knife. No, yeah, he had the knife in the car, but he brought the knife to the car. And the only reason that the knife ended up in the car is when he got shot, he dropped the knife. I bet you guys don't even know that. And yet you want to just cancel a bunch of games and screw over a bunch of people because of that? All this infrastructure, all of your fan base?
That's what I'm saying. Their narrative does not stand the scrutiny of the truth of what really happened in all of these cases. They're still talking about Trayvon Martin. And these are not cases that happened the way that the media told us. But the point to me is they're giving our kids, I think, an extremely bad example with their behavior. And I think that either they should just play their sports and be quiet instead of trying to make this some Black Lives Matter platform. Again, these people don't even understand what Black Lives Matter really means. It's not about Black lives, because if it was, Ron, they would be caring about all those kids and all those people in Chicago shot day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. All of the people in New York, all of the officer, the Black officer that was shot and killed by looters. You know, where are those Black lives?
You know, guys and gals in professional sports, I don't have a problem with you protesting, but I do expect that you know what the hell you're going to be talking about and at least have some facts instead of some stupid, ignorant, emotional response to this, which is 100% wrong almost 100% of the time. So I don't have a problem with you protesting, but I do have a problem with you doing it on our time. That's not your time. That's not your platform. That's our platform. We created that platform with our money, okay? We created the platform with our fan base. And you are in contract. And I am just disgusted with the lack of leadership from these corporate franchises and from the baseball and the football and the basketball commissioners and the hockey commissioners that put up with this crap. You should have a morals clause that prevents you from doing protests during the game, right? You want to protest? Do it off duty. I've got no problems with that. But guess what? We don't see you out there in Chicago and in Philadelphia and in DC and in Los Angeles, where we have these poor murdered children. We don't see you protesting there. We don't see you taking the millions of dollars that you're earning from your endorsements and your funky basketball shoes and helping the families and helping these communities. We don't see that.
No, and I don't see anybody protesting when a black man walks up to a five-year-old child riding a bike and shoots him in the head and then brags about it. I don't see that. Was that life not important? I can't watch these sports figures anymore. It is beyond me to be able to do this anymore. So guess what, Ron? No more season tickets. No more watching these sports teams on TV until they get a clue and respect us as their fans and stop, just leave their politics at home, leave their Black Lives Matter at home, leave all their crap at home and just play the game.
And you know what? I don't miss you guys a bit, okay? Not a bit, not one bit. I haven't watched a single one of your games since you started all this crap. And I like the local sports. I like the local basketball teams, the local football teams in Texas. I watch college sports, and that's it.
And I'll tell you one more thing. I can live without all of these sports people, but what I can't live without is a cop to protect me from these kinds of people that are running around killing other people.
Well, I'll tell you what, Linda, we blew off a hell of a lot of steam tonight. Don't you tell people how they can follow Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking Well Married?
Well, if you want to read my article I just wrote, it's called Major League Boycotters Send a Very Wrong Message. It's on America Out Loud. You can read it right now. And if you'd like to listen to our shows that we have done in the past, or if you'd like to listen live, you can listen on America Out Loud as well, or on any of the
the social media outlets,
social media
the
outlets,
internet,
iHeart, Stitcher, any of the, any of
Spotify,
them,
all of those.
Yes. So we look forward to hearing from you, and you can also find out on the bookstore in America Out Loud, Dr. Ron's book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter and the War on Police. And he also will have his brand new fiction series out about Wade Justice, Texas Ranger, which are fascinating, and they just launched.
And I'm so pleased with it. And you can get personalized and autographed books on our brand new website, Wade Justice, and justice is spelled J-U-S-T-U-S. WadeJustice.com. And if you don't want a personalized and autographed book, they're on Amazon, they're on Kindle, they're on all the available book outlets.
Barnes and Noble, sure. And go to AmericaOutloud.com because it is the best news that you're going to find. And it's the truth without all of the bias.